drosha for seder vo eschana nachamu tavshin samachay. The svarim bring down the drushas of Ibn Shuib specifically, that Shabbos Nachamu should be celebrated like a yontif with tremendous simcha. It needs to be explained what is the great simcha of Shabbos Nachamu. This year Shabbos Nachamu corresponds to the Yom Tov of Tu B'Av, that Chazal say, Lo hayu yomim tovim kechamishosur bi'av u'kiyom ha-kippurim. There were no greater yomim tovim, good days, for the Jewish people other than Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. Needs explanation also, what is this great yontif of Tu B'Av? And also, Tu B'Av, aside from the other reasons that the Gemara says why it is to be celebrated, also marks the end of the Shiva, so to say, on the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. If the day of the destruction, Tisha B'Av, is like Meso Muta Lefanav, it's like someone died on that day, then the end of the Shiva mourning period, the 7-day mourning period, would be on Tu B'Av. We've explained in the past that the concept of good, tov, means something that is substantive and has the ability to continue to exist. And the more it can continue to exist, the more it reaches towards eternity, the more good it is, the more tov it is. That's why Olam Haba, the eternal world, is called Yom Shekulo Tov. It's because it's Yom Shekulo Aruch. It's a day that is totally long, meaning it's eternal. Therefore, it's Yom Shekulo Tov. It's a day that's totally good, meaning substantive and existent forever. This is based on the Ramban. Ramban says on the Pasuk, Vayar Elokim Ki Tov, God created things in the first 6 days of creation, and then he looked at them and he saw they were good. In first grade, you can understand that simply, that God said, let there be fish. Then he took a look at them and said, hey, not bad, looks like fish, did a good job, looks good. That's obviously absurd. God knew exactly what he was creating, didn't have to look at it and say it was good. So the Ramban says that God wills things into creation with what we call speech. In our vernacular, it's called willing things, speaking things into being. However, once the thing exists, it needs now to be fixed in such a way that it should be able to continue to exist. That, says the Ramban, is the second stage. Vayar Elokim, then God looks at those things, Ki Tov, and he sees that it now can continue to exist. Hodu Lashem Ki Tov. Why? Why is it Ki Tov? Ki Liolam Chasdo, because it's eternal. We find also in this week's Sedra that in the second Luchos, in Kibud Avoim, it says, Laman Yarichun Yomecho, Laman Yitavloch. It should be good for you. In the first Luchos, in Yisro, it doesn't say Laman Yitavloch. The Gemara in Bava Kamma explains, since the first Luchos were broken, it would imply that the good for Klal Yisrael would also be broken, would not be eternal, would be something that would be limited. And good is not limited. Good means that it is eternal. And therefore, in Luchos that were to be broken, the word good could not appear. Another place we see this idea of Tov being something that is viable, that will have existence and continuity, is in the Pasuk, Vatireu Ki Tov, Vatitzbeneu Shlosha Yerachim. Yocheved saw that the baby, Moshe, was good, and therefore she hid him for 3 months. Can't mean simply that he was a good boy, because hiding him was to avoid him being drowned. What difference does it make if he was good or a bad boy? Not going to have him drowned. Says the Rashbam, at least the way I understand it, that Moshe Rabbeinu was born 3 months premature. And therefore, it would be a danger to the entire household to hide a baby if caught by the Egyptians in trying to circumvent Paro's decree of drowning all the male children, the entire family would be punished, probably with death. So if the child anyway wasn't viable, he was a 3-month premature baby who wouldn't survive, it was unheard of to endanger the entire family to save a baby they couldn't survive. But Vatireu Ki Tov, she saw he was viable, that he would survive, that he was not like other 3-month premature babies. And therefore, she felt the responsibility to even endanger the entire family to try and save this viable child. And therefore, Yomim Tovim, Yom Tov means a day that transcends time, a day that's eternal. It represents eternity. It represents the idea of continuity. And that is the Yom Tov of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur shows that even after sin and spiritual destruction, one would think that's it, just like the Gemara says, the Yerushalmi, that they asked Chochma and Nevuah and Torah, what happens to a sinner? And none of them found any continuity for the sinner. Only punishment or destruction or death. Only the Rabbanu Shem came up with the idea of tshuva. There's repentance. There's continuity. There is life after sin. It's possible to do tshuva, to repent. And that is what Yom Kippur is. Yom Kippur is the day that represents continuity after sin. Hashochein itam v'sol tumasum. God never abandons us. Even amongst the sin, he's still there. And therefore, we can return to him. So Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov. It's a day that shows continuity, that shows existence that will continue on even after sin. Tu B'Av is the same idea, the same Yontif, only the idea of continuity after physical destruction. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. There was a rebellion, Bar Kokhba, and it looked like maybe they would regain Eretz Yisrael and build a third Beis HaMikdash. And Rabbi Akiva even thought that Bar Kokhba was going to be Mashiach. And then all the hopes were dashed when Beitar fell, the last stronghold of Bar Kokhba, and hundreds of thousands of Jews were killed in Beitar on Tisha B'Av, about 50 odd years after the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash. And the bodies weren't able to be buried. And 3 years later on Tu B'Av, two miracles occurred. They were able to bury the bodies and they found them not decomposed. The idea being, the fact that the bodies hadn't decomposed yet meant that God was with them. And there was a kiyum, even in the tsar, even in the Churban. Destruction wasn't final. It wasn't the end. There was continuity. There was a day after. There was a continuation of Klal Yisrael even after this total destruction. And then the bodies were able to be buried. The idea of burial is that even though the body decomposes, but it's like a seed, which decomposes only to sprout again and to bring new growth and new life, so too all of the churbanos, all the destructions, were not an end, but they were a process that began a process of rebirth, of growth, even though it involved decomposition and destruction. And that, we said on Tisha B'Av, is the idea of Hazorin Bedima Berina Yiktsoru. Those that look at tears as a Zriya, as a planting, yes, it's tragic and something to cry about, but the tear itself has within it the power of regeneration, of growth. Then Berina Yiktsoru, then they will see the rebirth and the regrowth and rejoice. So these two miracles represented the fact that even after physical destruction, there's still hope, there's still continuity. God is still with them, the bodies didn't decompose, and they were able to bury those bodies. There's hope for the future, a new rebirth, a new growth, a new regeneration. And all of the things the Gemara says, the other reasons why Tu B'Av is a yontif fit this pattern. The fact that the people who were decreed to stay in the desert 40 years and die there stopped dying on Tu B'Av. And that meant that the new generation would now be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. The Tzara stopped, and there was continuity afterwards. The Shvatim were not allowed to intermarry. And they were permitted to begin to intermarry on Tu B'Av, and intermarry between the Shvatim, between themselves. And that happened on Tu B'Av also. Continuity of the Jewish people. Shevet Binyamin was put in Cheren. And they were permitted to marry within the other Shvatim on Tu B'Av, continuity. The two Agolim and the soldiers that Yerovam ben Nevat put in Don and Beersheba to prevent the Jewish people from coming Aliyah Laredo, those guards were taken away on Tu B'Av, continuity. And even in nature, says that the nights start becoming long on Tu B'Av, and the days shorter. The night representing the negative, the destruction, the gullus. But even the lengthening of the night has its upside. There's more time to learn Torah. There's more time for Talmud Torah because the nights are longer. And that's why on Tu B'Av the rabbis instituted on Yom Kippur that the girls should go out and look for shaduchim. Should go into the vineyards, and the eligible young men would come and they'd make shaduchim on that day, because that's what represents the continuity, the hemshich of Klal Yisrael, shaduchim, marriage, children. That's the future. And that's why on Tu B'Av they instituted a new bracha, the fourth bracha in benching, in Birkas HaMazon, because the first bracha is Hazonis HaKol. When the man fell, Moshe Rabbeinu instituted the bracha Hazonis HaKol. Food is the idea of kiyum, is the continuity, the continuation, the strengthening of a person's existence, continues on his existence by eating. And we make a bracha that Rabban Hashem provides food. When they went into Eretz Yisrael, Yoshua instituted the bracha Al Ha'aretz, the Al HaMazon. Eretz Yisrael, the source of all that food, the source of the kiyum of Klal Yisrael. And finally, Shlomo and David instituted the bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash was built, the ultimate substance of Klal Yisrael, the ultimate existence, the Beis HaMikdash itself. And then all of that was lost. Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we were exiled from Eretz Yisrael. And in poverty, there's still another bracha to make. Hatova HaMeitiv. God is still good, and He still does good. Even through the Golas, even after Tzoras, there's still continuity. There's a Hemshech. There's a continuation. There's still life, even after Churban, and there's always hope for the future. That's why they also made a bracha, Hatova HaMeitiv, when you drink a better wine than the one you started with certain circumstances and factors. But the wine serves two purposes. Wine serves as a nechama, it's a comfort to mourners, and it's also a source of simcha. The first wine is the comfort, but after that there's a hemshech, there's a continuity. Ultimately there'll be simcha, so you make hatov ha-meitiv on the second wine. Moshe Rabbeinu in the Sedra, after he describes his terrible tragedy, that he davened and he thought maybe the decree that he couldn't enter Eretz Yisrael would be rescinded, and God told him, do not speak to me anymore about this. That's it. Go up to the mountain. You can see Eretz Yisrael, but you can't go in there. And even after all of that, you still sinned again in Baal Peor. And then Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'ata Yisrael. But now Yisrael. There's a now. That's all the past. But there's always a future. There's always a present. The present represents the continuation, the continuity. There's destruction, my personal destruction, sin. But there is continuity after sin. There's continuity after destruction. They say that someone once came to the Ragachover with a question that he had gone from Godel to Godel asking. He had come up with this question. He didn't know any answer. And he asked many Gedolei Yisrael. No one could come up with an answer. Very, very ingenious question. And he went for months from one person to another, obsessed with this question. Finally came to the Ragachover, and the Ragachover said, the answer to your question, Ayin Brachos, this and this Tosfos. So he was elated, he had to go look and see how this Tosfos answered his question. He looked it up, and the Tosfos had absolutely nothing to do with the question that he asked. At least, not the way he understood it, and he asked other people, nobody understood what the Ragachover was talking about. So he went back to the Ragachover, and he said, could you please explain the answer to me? Where in this Tosfos is there even a hint to my question? The Ragachover said, look at the Tosfos. At the end of the Tosfos, he asks a question, and he gives no answer. And yet, there's another Tosfos that immediately follows this. You don't die from questions. You don't become obsessed with questions. After the question, Tzorichim, needs to be investigated, you go on. Life is like that also. We have many times in our personal lives, in our communal lives, in the lives of Klal Yisrael, where there's a lot of tzorachiyums, where there are a lot of questions that are unanswered. But you don't die from a question. You put tzorachiyum, needs to be investigated, we don't understand, and we go on. We go on with life, we go on with Avodas Hashem, we go on with that process that includes even the decomposition, even the destructions that eventually cause the rebirth, the regeneration, the regrowth. So, Emir Tzashem, that could be a reason why, according to our minig, we read on Tisha B'Av, Ki Solid Bonim U'Bnei Bonim, which happens to be part of Seder V'Eschana. On Tisha B'Av, we read it in a mournful way, as destruction. And then Mamish, that next Shabbos, Shabbos Nachamu, we read it again, but with a Shabbos sticker, Nigin, to show that the same destruction, the Maisa, will be the source of regeneration and continuity. These are the Yomim Tovim of Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur, and this is the Yontif of Shabbos Nachamu. Yes, there's destruction, but there's a Shabbos after. There is continuity, there is existence, there is substance, even after destruction, and that is why the Shabbos after Tisha B'Av, Shabbos Nachamu, is also like a Yom Tov, a day that transcends time, a day that shows that even after destruction, there is hope, there is continuity, there is regeneration and rebirth. Hazorim b'dima, berina yiktzoru. Those who look at the source of tears as a process of planting, berina yiktzoru, will one day reap the results of that planting, the regeneration, rebirth, and regrowth, the biyasko el tzedek, Hey, Rav Yomim.